While we work at Microsoft, this podcast is independent of Microsoft and implies no warranty or guarantee of the products or services. We will not be sharing anything confidential, and we do not represent the opinion of Microsoft in any way. We are just two passionate guys that love what we do, implementing Microsoft devices and services. Welcome to the Device Pros Podcast. I'm Frank Pinto, and my co-host is Alfred Ojukwu. This show is all about our experience as consultants implementing Microsoft solutions around the world. If you're already an IT pro, or you're trying to get started, you've come to the right place. We will discuss tech success and failure in the show, resources, tips, tricks, and everything in between. You can find us at www.thedevicepros.com, on Twitter and Facebook as The Device Pros. Hold on to your surfaces, the episode is about to begin. Welcome back to another amazing episode of The Device Pros. I'm joined by my co-host, Alfred Ojukwu. Hey, Alfred.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
It's going good, man. You know, today we're going to talk about something that I've been doing a lot of work on lately. We're going to talk about MBAM.
Oh, see, I thought you were talking about the beer bottle you had over there.
No. Been doing a lot of work on that too, but not IT pro. Well, maybe it is IT pro relevant. We'll have to think about that. Maybe we do a beer cast. Well, I have a lot of customers lately that have been asking me to assist them with deploying MBAM, Microsoft BitLocker Administration and Monitoring. It's a layer that goes on top of BitLocker. So let's dive into that. Do you know a whole lot about BitLocker and MBAM? Have you utilized that at all?
I've used it on and off. Not every customer has it, but it's definitely one of those that I try to make sure my customer knows about.
Okay. Well, I think a good place to start is to talk about BitLocker, because MBAM layers on top of BitLocker and offers an enterprise administration piece. So I'd kind of like to start off talking about the features of BitLocker with Windows 8 or 8.1, so we can just sort of lay a foundation of what it is that you can do with BitLocker and then what MBAM does to make that more enterprise ready. What do you think?
All right, that's fine. I think that's a great place to start.
All right. So first of all, BitLocker, introduced in Windows Vista, was at that point only an entire disk encryption, a whole disk encryption system that was integrated into the operating system. So with Windows Vista and Windows 7, it was whole disk encryption. With Windows 8, we offered a second option. So we have whole disk encryption, and we also have used space encryption. That's pretty popular because you can encrypt a disk much faster.
Right. So before we go forward, I think you're basically saying BitLocker helps you protect your data from maybe loss or theft or hackers. Is that pretty much what it does?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So without a BitLocker key, let's say that my laptop were to be stolen. If someone were to try to take that data off of my drive, if they were to take the drive out and put it into their own administrative PC and access that data, they wouldn't be able to do that without the BitLocker recovery key.
Okay.
So it encrypts my entire drive and everything that's on the drive, and that's the important thing to know about BitLocker.
It's a good point. I think I remember when Windows 7 came out, they also improved BitLocker so that it was available on the Ultimate and the Enterprise editions, just basically helping to keep the documents and the passwords safer through the encryption. I remember that happening, as well as BitLocker to go. I believe that was a new feature in Windows 7.
Yeah, it was. So with BitLocker to go, you're able to take that encryption, which is integrated into the operating system, no third-party tools needed. You can encrypt removable drives, and those removable drives can be accessed through using your BitLocker password or PIN.
So very cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, I think. All right, if we talk about Windows 8, let's kind of go over just a couple of the basic new security features that tie right in that also integrate with BitLocker in a way that makes your corporate IT systems more secure. So the first bit is with Windows 8, and say approximately the last 2 to 3 years, we have been utilizing a BIOS replacement called UEFI. With UEFI enabled, we get something called Secure Boot. Now, Secure Boot's a little bit misunderstood. People have asked me, is this something that Microsoft developed? And it's not. It's actually a specification developed by the UEFI consortium.
Right, right. But why do I care about UEFI and Secure Boot when we're talking about BitLocker? I always wonder that.
Well, you know, what it boils down to for me is that if you have BitLocker and you're fully encrypted, that's one piece of the pie. But to have the whole pie, you have to protect everything around the Windows operating system and around your computer. So one thing that we need to protect is the boot mechanism. And we need to protect it from boot virus and rootkits and those kinds of things. So when we utilize Secure Boot, basically what that does, we've locked down the Windows kernel, including Windows PE. So this is Server 2012, Windows 8 and newer, and Windows PE. And we've locked the kernel and we've signed it with a digital certificate. And what Secure Boot does is verify that that digital certificate is valid and allows the Windows operating system to boot if everything is okay. A common way that hackers try to get rootkits enabled or implemented, and this is before Windows boots, right? So at the moment Windows boots, this rootkit or this virus could already be running. The way they do that commonly is through utilizing kernel mode drivers. So if you were to modify a kernel mode driver with Windows 8, if you are utilizing UEFI and have Secure Boot enabled, it would stop the operating system from booting because immediately we would know that there is a problem. So that's the first bit, right? It's good to have an encrypted drive. It's good to have your data encrypted, but we also have to, you know, protect the other areas around the operating system.
So here's a question I have is, it, you know, could I go get away with just having BitLocker and not have Secure Boot as an option?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So it sounds like BitLocker is just another enhancement to the security of the operating system. It's so same thing as Secure Boot and UEFI, correct?
It is. I think it's a little more than just an enhancement because it's inherent in the system. It's built into the operating system, and that's really the thing that will protect your data in the event of a loss or a theft.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, so now let's transition in. We've talked about a little bit about Windows 8 and the security features that it offers and why that's important to enable those kinds of things along with BitLocker. But I'd like to talk a little bit about what the experience is like for the user if you're just utilizing BitLocker. But firstly, you have the option when you run BitLocker on your local machine to utilize two different things. One is called a TPM, and that's the Trusted Platform Module, which is a chip built into your computer, and you can store security information on that TPM module. The other option, and you can use them in conjunction, is called a TPM plus PIN. And what that does is when you boot up, you need to enter a PIN so that you can make it past the BIOS screen and get Windows to begin loading. So that's the options that you have when you're enabling BitLocker. One thing that's a bit of a drawback when you're utilizing just BitLocker, if you're doing that in a corporate environment, a lot of times we don't want to give our users full admin access to the local machine. And unfortunately, to utilize BitLocker, to enable BitLocker, you must give the user local admin privileges. So that's a bit of a challenge. Alfred, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's just going to add more to the TPM. You mentioned that it could also be used, and basically if it's not available, you can still use BitLocker. If you have a drive that doesn't have a compatible TPM, then you'll probably need to use another set of steps to actually make sure that you can secure the system.
Okay, and it's not drive dependent. You said if you have a drive that's not TPM, it's computer dependent.
Exactly.
Okay. The experience as an administrator, if you're just utilizing BitLocker, it's not all that great. It's not all that easy to administer. Yes, there are group policies, so you can configure the experience for the end user. However, well, one thing that it does is you have one single recovery password, and that same recovery password can be used over and over. So what the user could do, unfortunately, is take that password, that 48-digit recovery password, jot it down, type it out, and leave it in their laptop bag. And that's not very secure. The other thing is that we can store BitLocker recovery information in Active Directory, and we can store TPM owner information in Active Directory. So that's good, right? Now we're sort of enabling a bit of an enterprise feature. If I'm an admin, this is good because I can pull this information out of AD. A little bit of a caveat with that is that that information is transferred over the wire in clear text. It's not encrypted as it goes from the client into AD. And even though we can give read and view rights and we can assign those kinds of permissions as to who can see that information, the data that's stored in Active Directory for the BitLocker recovery and the TPM recovery is stored also in clear text. It is not encrypted. So that's important to note if you are in a secure environment and you have a need to meet a certain level of government regulation, you know, that information is stored in clear text.
So is it a simple configuration? How difficult is it to put together?
I don't think it's too difficult to put together. There are a few scripts that you can download from TechNet, and they will enable Active Directory to set proper permissions. So you need to have certain permissions set so that a user can write that information to AD, but then cannot go back and read that information. So there's a few scripts that you have to run. But there's no need to extend Active Directory if you're running anything newer than 2003. If your domain level, functional level is at 2003, is newer than 2003, you don't have to extend the AD schema. It's ready to go. If you're running 2003 functional level, you do have to extend the schema to make that available. So by default, server 2008, server 2012, everything you need is built in, with the exception of running these few scripts to just make sure configuration is correct for the storage of the BitLocker and TPM information.
Okay.
Now, there is another cool thing that happens with BitLocker. So if I have a computer which is not domain joined, and I've enabled my Microsoft account on that computer, I've linked it with my account that logs in, it will automatically store my BitLocker recovery key in SkyDrive. So if I run into a situation where I've locked myself out, if I have access to the internet through another device, I can go to SkyDrive and I can retrieve that information, which I think is pretty awesome. But again, this is really a situation that's not enterprise, right? This is a non-domain joined PC. So it's not managed. We don't have reporting. You know, management becomes really important if, let's say, there is a theft or a loss of a laptop and there's critical information on there. Immediately, your security team is going to want information about that particular device and what the status or state of that device was the last time it checked in before it was lost or stolen. If you just utilize BitLocker with no administration layer on top, you don't have that kind of reporting. There is no mechanism or method that's built in to provide that information. So that's a big drawback, I think.
We're going to go into a little bit more around the MBAM and the MBAM features now.
No, not at all.
Okay.
So I thought at the very beginning I laid out that we were going to talk about BitLocker because MBAM isn't really a product, is it? It's not a new feature I'm enabling inside of Windows. It is a layer of administration that goes on top of a foundation, which is, Alfred?
MDOP?
My goodness. Come on, BitLocker. You're not even listening. Which is it's an administration MDOP piece
sounded cooler to
that
me.
Well, yeah, whatever. MDOP this. All right, MBAM is included in MDOP. So if you have MDOP, if your company has the licensing for MDOP, then you also get MBAM. And the current version of MBAM is 2.0 SP1. So if you have MBAM 2.0 SP1, there's a few things that, actually, I think there's quite a few things that you get, and it really gets you to the level of managing BitLocker that's on the clients in an enterprise way from a centralized administration. The first thing that's really important to know is that there's a client. There's an MBAM client. It sits on the local computer, and basically all that client does is communicate with the infrastructure to share status updates. That's all the client does. It's a very, very small footprint, very, very small amount of traffic. It just needs to make sure what the current state is and report that back to the MBAM infrastructure. So first thing, we need the client. Second thing, nothing actually happens. If you install the client, you can leave the client on there forever, and nothing is going to happen unless you utilize the GPOs, which enable BitLocker to function on that computer. That's a really important piece. I get a lot of questions about that. Well, I've installed the client. Why isn't it working? And then I'll have to ask, okay, have we implemented the GPOs? Do we have a central store? Have we implemented these GPOs, and are the GPOs reaching the client? So that is the mechanism which turns on BitLocker on the end user's device. When we utilize MBAM, we're actually storing the information not in Active Directory anymore, but we're storing the information in an SQL database. Now, if we utilize the SQL database, first of all, the only supported method currently is to utilize a standalone SQL database, not clustered, not replicated. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is currently. But if you utilize the standalone implementation and you use SQL Enterprise, then you can enable TDE encryption. We can actually encrypt that database so that it couldn't be hacked or stolen and utilized in a different organization, a hacker's place of business, to steal all the recovery information and hack their way through all your devices. So that's a really good piece. The second thing to note about encryption is that we are able to use, if you have a PKI infrastructure, we're able to use an SSL certificate, so we can encrypt all traffic from the client to the servers and from the server to the SQL database. So absolutely all the communication that goes back and forth is encrypted, and then your database is also encrypted. So you have now successfully encrypted everything to do with BitLocker. Again, BitLocker is the foundation, and MBAM is just the layer on top that does the administration. So how does that sound?
Wow, that's interesting. So how does MBAM change the recovery password scenario? I mean, before it seemed a little bit simpler, but you know, what makes it easier now with MBAM?
Well, it's not easier per se or harder, but it's much more secure. So MBAM gives us two things that I think are really great. The first thing is when you utilize a recovery password, once that recovery password is utilized, the client boots up, and the client, the MBAM client, which is running on the Windows 8 machine, communicates with the infrastructure and says, okay, I've utilized this password. The awesome thing is we just generate a brand spanking new one. So if the user wrote it down on their wall or a nice post-it and left it right on their monitor, it's never going to work again. That was a big ask from our enterprise clients. So that's a really good feature.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to use it more. I'm always interested to see, you know, how to make it work more efficiently for my users at least.
Well, speaking about making it more efficient, with MBAM, we have a self-service portal. So the user could, from a secondary computer, access a self-service portal and gather that information themselves. It uses integrated AD security, so I must be logged on to access my computer's information. I go to a website. I do a quick verification. There's a 8-digit code that comes up that you have to enter into the self-service portal that comes up when BitLocker's trying to do recovery, and it will give me my 48-digit recovery key, and I go ahead and enter that in without even having to open a ticket at the help desk.
Ah, okay. So this is one of the infrastructure servers that are required for MBAM, correct?
Yeah. So let's talk about the infrastructure that's required.
I didn't know when you were going to go into that. I was kind of waiting for that the whole time.
Well, now is when we're going into it.
Yay.
All right. So we have two different methods of MBAM configuration. One is a standalone configuration, and the other one is a what, Alfred?
Infrastructure configuration
or configuration manager integrated.
So
that's what you meant to say.
That's you always have the better fancier words. Sure.
All right, so in a standalone configuration, if you're in a lab or non-production environment, you can use a single computer and you can run all of the infrastructure that's required off of one computer. Microsoft doesn't recommend that as your production implementation, but just so you know, you can do that.
In a proof of concept, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. In your non-production environment, if you're doing a proof of concept, it's perfect for that. Then, if you're actually implementing this in the way Microsoft has implemented this, for all of our users, is a two-server configuration. So we have one server, which is the admin and monitoring server, and it also includes the self-service portal and the help desk portal. And then we have a second server, which is our database server, standalone database SQL server. Two-server configuration, and we're dealing with, 100,000 clients at Microsoft. So that's a pretty awesome and pretty powerful thing, and it's not very expensive because really we just need two pieces of infrastructure. What do you think about that?
I think that's pretty cool. I just want to make sure we minimize the amount of servers that we throw into the organization to be able to run MBAM. So it's good to know.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, they can be virtual. You don't need to have physical hardware. There's no additional requirement. It's pretty low overhead type work.
Wow, there's got to be a gotcha somewhere.
No gotchas. All right.
Did you mention the group policy templates, the MBAM group policy templates?
We did talk about that before. There are some group policy. When you go through the installer, there are multiple choices that you can pick, and one of those is to set up an administrator machine, if you will, that just expands the group policy templates from the installer. You take those GPOs and you drop them into your central store, and then they're available for deployment out to the client. All right, so that's our standalone. We have a configuration manager integrated piece, and this is really a three-server implementation. The first server, again, it's our database server, and again, we want that standalone because we're going to use Enterprise, and we're going to encrypt that database using TDE, so it's important to understand that you do need this separate SQL database, even though you're going to have an SQL database for Configuration Manager. Okay, so that's server one. Server two is we integrate with a Configuration Manager site server. It must be a primary server or a CAS. And when we do that integration, what that gives us is the ability to collect the hardware and the compliance information and use a single pane of glass to gather information about MBAM. We have to make a couple of edits to the MOF files. There are scripts on TechNet that give you exactly what to do. It's literally cut and paste, really easy. But then the MOF files are updated and we gather that information so that we can look at what's going on with these clients directly from within Configuration Manager. And then we move to our third server, which is our admin and monitoring server. Again, this also includes the self-service portal and the help desk portal. Standalone configuration, how many servers do we need for that, Alfred?
So one server, standalone configuration, very simple.
Okay, and that is for use in what type of environment?
A standalone environment. I know that one very well now.
Right, so single server should be used for what? Only. Single server configuration should only be used in a proof of concept or in your non-production environment.
As opposed to a production environment, correct.
Exactly. So first, standalone configuration to be used in your production environment, the way that Microsoft does it, how many servers do you need for that?
At least two.
Two servers. All right. Alfred's learning. When we move into Configuration Manager integrated, what's the benefit? Why do I care about integrating with Configuration Manager?
Am I asking the questions and then you're answering it now? Did we just switch?
We just switched roles. Yeah, I'm giving you, this is the good old Jeopardy quiz right here, for 200. answer me this.
Well, this one sounds like a 500 to me, but I know it's 200. I'm going to give the consultant answer. It depends.
It depends. All right. So it is three servers. If you're in a three server situation here with Configuration Manager, I'm giving you the answer to the next darn question.
Darn.
Man, you threw me all off, Alfred. What is wrong with you? The benefit of integrating with Configuration Manager, that was the question. And the benefit is we have the single pane of glass. We get our compliance reporting and information available to us within Configuration Manager. So that's kind of the benefit. That's the reason why you would want to integrate with Configuration Manager. All right, so we've talked about MBAM, we've talked about BitLocker, we've even talked about some Windows 8.1 security features. Alfred, are you ready to go put this thing in?
I've been waiting all my life for this one. Let's go.
Brilliant, brilliant. All right. So what haven't we covered? I mean, what kind of things are you wondering after we've had this discussion? What are you thinking about MBAM? What are you thinking about BitLocker?
Well, I'm really interested in finding out, what makes it better than the other solutions out there. Why should I implement it in my organization? How does it save me cost How does it give me a higher level of return by implementing this solution?
All right. So first of all, it's made by Microsoft, so clearly it's better, right? I mean, we know that. Second of all, it's integrated in the operating system. So there's nothing that you need to enable, nothing special that you have to do to your image to utilize BitLocker. And it's just dealt with in a group policy fashion. That's how it's managed. So this is pretty straightforward and easy. That's the first bit. The second thing is, how much does your bcrypt license or your semantic endpoint protection license cost? You know how much a BitLocker and an MBAM license costs? Nothing.
No.
$0. Nothing. Zero.
$0.
Yes.
So as long as I have software assurance and MDOP, then I get MBAM, correct?
That's right. So it doesn't cost you anything. And you can utilize, even if you weren't utilizing MBAM, which I think all enterprises should, as long as you have that MDOP license, you should be using MBAM. But even if you don't have MDOP, still, how much does it cost to maintain and manage BitLocker? Nothing. Zero. Nothing. You can put it in AD. There's no additional license costs. So we're saving companies literally millions of dollars in licensing, depending on their size. I mean, I think that's a pretty major benefit. The other bit is the infrastructure that's required isn't very much at all and can run on virtual machines without an issue. So there's multiple methods, multiple ways, multiple entry points here. We've got it all ready to go, and it's cheap. It's free. How can you be free? Tell me how you can be free.
You can't. You can't. You really cannot. Can't.
All right. Okay. So what else?
The auditing database. I mean, how difficult is that to configure? You know, the auditing.
Good question. So you, first of all, it utilizes SSRS, and we give you a bunch of pre-built reports. So you can utilize the pre-built reports. But because we're using SSRS, there's a really cool tool with SSRS, that allows you to make custom reports. And you can use do you know what that's called, Alfred? The tool that we can use to make custom reports?
No, I don't.
It's a trick question. It's called the custom report generator. Bam.
Man, this is like a advanced version of the Jeopardy without the actual board.
And without being warned that this was a Jeopardy.
Yeah, I'm losing like hundreds of points here.
Yeah,
I'm kind of worried for Double Jeopardy to show up all of a sudden.
Well, Jeopardy, Double Jeopardy, Triple Jeopardy, it all boils down to BitLocker and MBAM being an excellent solution that's already integrated in your operating system, that doesn't cost very much, that's easy to administer. Well, I guess that's going to wrap up another episode of the Device Pros. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you very much for all of the ads on Facebook. Thank you very much for the comments that have been coming in on Twitter. Please keep them coming. We are the Device Pros. On Facebook, look us up there. On Twitter, we are the Device Pros as well. You can find us at The Device Pros. Or you can go check us out online at our website, www.thedevicepros.com. Thanks, everybody. Look forward to talking with you next time, next episode. Alfred?
Thanks, guys. We'll see you at the next session.
All right. And we're going to get Alfred some caffeine for that one. Take care, everybody.
Yeah. Bye.
That wraps up another amazing episode of The Device Pros. We appreciate you tuning in and participating. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another incredible episode helping the technology community one podcast at a time. We want to hear from you, our loyal members, so please reach out on our website, thedevicepros.com, or The Device Pros on Twitter and Facebook. For now, be good to your technology, and remember, the NSA is watching. See ya! While we work at Microsoft, this podcast is independent of Microsoft and implies no warranty or guarantee of the products or services. We will not be sharing anything confidential, and we do not represent the opinion of Microsoft in any way. We are just two passionate guys that love what we do, implementing Microsoft devices and services.